Dear journalists, we start our press conference, so we'll have one by one questions from foreign media and then questions from Ukrainian media. So first question is to Wall Street Journal, please.
So this is a civilian exercise, and I think you all witnessed that. This is an exercise about rescue. It's about saving lives, and it's very important to exercise and to increase also the ability of different nations, NATO allies and partner countries, to increase their ability to work together. So we have been absolute transparent about what this exercise is about. We are exercising something which is of great importance both for Ukraine and for many other NATO allies and partners. And there is no reason to create any misunderstanding about this exercise because it is a civilian preparedness rescue exercise.
Thank you very much indeed, Secretary General. The presence of such a big numbers of journalists is the exact evidence that we are completely open and transparent. And every one of you can see that this is completely civilian exercise, but very symbolic, because this is the first time in our cooperation between Ukraine and NATO. We have this type of exercise with the participation more than 1,100 participants, more than 34 countries which participate in this exercise, and this is real civilian exercise for our services of emergencies. But we are interested in different form of exercises which increase our coordination and cooperation with NATO. And I think this is very only have a positive effect. And when we plan this possible type of exercises, we would be the same open and we invite the same number of journalists. Thank you.
Interfax Ukraine, прошу запитання.
Mr. President, how would you comment on blockade, on trade blockade on the administrative boundary with Crimea and declarations which we heard from Odessa that local activists want to block the same way the border with Transnistria? I think These points are of principal difference. Crimea is a Ukrainian territory, which, as a result of the annexation, was captured or seized by armed people from the regular troops of Russian Federation, captured in February 2014. Today, the blockade is an action of public activists of Crimean Tatar people, and Ukrainian state services have received orders, Ukrainian border guard troops, as well as Ukrainian law enforcement officers, were ordered to provide for law and order and to prevent any provocations during this action. The aim of this action is, as I said yesterday in my interview, Ukraine will do everything possible in order to provide for the quickest possible restoration of Ukraine's national sovereignty over Crimean land. Nothing more. Transnistria is not part of Ukraine. We cannot compare these activities. I think this will go beyond France my comments. Press. France Press, please.
France Press. The first question is about the Russian army presence in the eastern Ukraine. According to NATO, are there still Russian troops in the conflict area, and if yes, how many? And the second question is about the ceasefire. Do you think it's working? And is there still a threat of the escalation of conflict? Thank you.
What we have seen, and I think that the president can elaborate even more on that, what we have seen is that the ceasefire is mainly holding. And this is, of course, encouraging, because that was not the case before. But still, the situation is very fragile. Russia continues to support the separatists. They provide them with weapons, with different kinds of equipment, with training, with forces. So the situation is still fragile. But I welcome the renewed efforts to make the Minsk agreements work. I welcome the fact that the ceasefire is mostly holding. And I very much underline that the path to peace, the way to reach a peaceful, negotiated solution to the crisis in eastern Ukraine is the Minsk agreements. And therefore, we need to see full implementation, meaning also that Russia has to stop supporting the separatists in eastern Ukraine.
Thank you very much indeed for your question. Yes, we have now, from the 29th of August, we have a very fragile ceasefire. From the time when we have before up to 200 shelling per day, today we have 1, 2, 3, 4, and normally from the light shelling, from the light weapon. Yesterday and today we do not have any casualties, neither wounded, no, killed. And I just want now, in front of you, want to open the report which I have from our general staff. We have a zero shelling today, zero shelling, and zero losses from combat. And of course, if you approach from this point of view, this is very effective and very important. But does this situation with the ceasefire can bring us to the peace? This is very necessary, but not enough component. Because for having peace and stability, for the de-escalation of the situation, we need to remove any Russian and Russian-backed terrorists from Ukrainian territory. We should close the border. We should launch the political process and election under the Ukrainian legislation, which will meet the standard ODIHR of the OSCE. This election should be free and fair, and political, humanitarian, economic, infrastructural, security dialogue, which is the significant and considerable part of the Minsk process, can bring the situation on the east of my country to the de-escalation and bring the peace to this land. Thank you.
Kyiv Post, будь ласка.
Johannes Sanderson, the Kyiv Post. Mr. President, Mr. General Secretary, in 2008, Ukraine and Georgia was left in a very vulnerable situation. They weren't given membership action plans to NATO, but also it was stated that they could eventually at some point become a member of NATO. Considering NATO's subsequent action, do you think that that was a mistake done at that point? And should the Article 5 actually be reviewed to account for covert attacks, as we have seen on the Russian side?
Okay, I can start our understanding how we can estimate the situation in the year 2008. We have a decision of the Bucharest Summit of NATO from the year 2008. And this decision is absolutely clear message to Ukraine. The door of NATO is open for us. And we need to make a reform in our countries. By the way, 99% of the reform for the being adequate to the standard of the European Union and standard to the NATO is the same. This is the democracy, this is the anti-corruption, this is the rule of law, this is the investment climate, security sector, and different else. And we now strongly and decisively providing and implementing reform in our country, considering the door is open. Does the Ukraine ready now to be a member of NATO? Answer is very simple. No. And we should be prepared for that. Does NATO ready that Ukraine would be a member? Answer is the same. No. But we should work hard to change my country to be the member of the European Union. And this is my main purpose. The same criteria, as I said, you 99% is the same. The door of NATO is open for Ukraine from year 2008.
I remember very well the decisions we made in Bucharest back in 2008. At that time, I was there as Prime Minister of Norway. I remember the discussions and the decision because the important thing which we underlined there and which is also something which NATO has underlined again and again is that it's a fundamental right of any nation to decide which path it wants to pursue and also what kind of security arrangements it wants to be part of. And this is not actually only a message from NATO, but this is also a fundamental principle which is enshrined, for instance, in the Helsinki Final Act, which also Russia has signed to. So the principle that every nation has the sovereign right to decide its own path is a fundamental principle, which, of course, is still valid. Then, as the President just now stated, Ukraine is now focusing on reform, on modernizing their armed forces, and NATO is working with Ukraine on implementing those reforms and implementing a transformation of the armed forces of Ukraine so they become even more modern and more capable and meet NATO standards. And then when they have finished these reforms, then it's up to Ukraine to decide whether they would like to apply. And if Ukraine applies, then of course we will assess an application from Ukraine in the way we will assess any other application. So I can't see that this is a problem now, because it is a very clear principle. And then Ukraine is moving forward, and we are developing the partnership together with Ukraine, enabling Ukraine to modernize and to reform.
Mm-hmm. And two last questions. Голос України, будь ласка.
Mr. President, in spite of the Minsk agreements, the so-called Lugansk and Donetsk People's Republics announced that they will have their own elections on the 18th of October and the 1st of November. What will be the direction of Kyiv if they go ahead with this? The reaction will be the same as it was to the fake elections, which run counter to the international law and Ukrainian legislation and have no legal consequences. These elections will not be recognized by anybody in the world because they will be just fake elections. They are not elections per se. They are not free and fair. They fail to meet OSCE standards, and they clearly run counter to the Minsk agreements. Another point is that this creates a serious threat to the Minsk agreements, and just like elections of the 2nd of November damaged the Minsk Protocol and Memorandum of September. And I would like to remind you that the first Minsk Protocol was concluded on the day of the NATO summit in Wales. So I believe that likewise these decisions will be viewed as totally irresponsible and will harm the Minsk process. Our vision of the situation is very simple. The elections should be based on the Ukrainian legislation. We have communicated the election law to them. If there are some specifics, and there are some specifics, and the first specific point is the fact that a lot of people, up to a million people living in Donbas, are IDPs. And they have no opportunity to vote. The best pro-Ukrainian people who were forced to leave Donbas, according to this law, are disenfranchised, which means that the results of the elections will be distorted. Therefore, we stand ready for discussion, but these specifics should envision clear compliance with ODIHR and OSCE principles. At the trilateral group meeting, which will take place tomorrow, we had a representative from the ODIHR, and he expressed a position which totally coincides with the Ukrainian vision, and we said that we want the elections in Donetsk and Luhansk be properly prepared. And in terms of Ukrainian political parties, the operation of election commissions, we want to remove the armed people from the streets because we cannot have elections at the barrel of a gun. There should be transparency, and everything should be done to make sure that the result of these elections, we should have no Russian troops on our territory, the border be restored, and Ukrainian sovereignty be revived. Europa Press, the last question, please.
What? Frankly speaking, I don't understand your question, because no. If you said that we want to change the position of Ukraine, that Russia become an aggressor, this is absolutely misunderstanding, because Russia is already, starting from the February of year 2014, when first Russian troops appeared around the parliament of the Crimea, and the armed Russian troops were annexed the Crimea, Russia is an aggressor. And unfortunately, the situation has not changed during this 1.5 year. And we're really expecting that Russia withdraw their troops, we close the border, and we would provide the effective policy for the de-escalation situation in Ukraine. But the problem is not only in Ukraine. The Russian troops now in Syria, Russian troops now in some other area when completely destabilizing the global security system. And that is the very tough challenge for the whole world on the security matter. Thank you.
Let me just add that the actions of Russia in Crimea and some parts of eastern Ukraine is not only a violation of the territorial integrity and the sovereignty of Ukraine, but it's also undermining the rules-based order, which peace and security has been based on in Europe for decades. So this is a challenge to all of us, to all of us who are striving for a stable and peaceful development in Europe. And that's the reason why we have been so strong in supporting Ukraine, but also in underlining the importance of respecting and implementing the Minsk agreements. And let me also then refer to the previous question, that any elections which takes place in eastern Ukraine, which are not in accordance with Ukrainian law, will be a violation of the Minsk agreements. They will be fake elections, and they will be not, and they will not be be recognized by any NATO ally. So the important thing is that the elections has to be in accordance with the Ukrainian law, and that is an important part of the full implementation of the Minsk agreements, which is the best way of solving the crisis in eastern Ukraine.
Дякуємо дуже. Thank you very much. Thank you.